Okay, so I don't have to say let's thank Kevin because look like we just thanked Kevin. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker who will be speaking on the fifth step. I'd like to introduce you to Monique from Most of Heaven area. Hi, family. My name is Monique, and I'm an addict. My name is Monique E. I am from Hagerstown, Maryland, almost heaven area. Peace. I'd like to thank this area for allowing me the opportunity to give back what was so freely given to me, and to thank Kevin for putting God in it and setting the stage and the tone for recovery. You know, it's hard for me to talk about the fifth step without including that fourth. When I first came around, it says in our literature, working step five is not just sharing step four. I need to say my first fifth step was sharing step four. That's what we knew. I came from an area that was small, and we were all new in recovery. The most clean time might have been about 2 years that was showing up regularly. So my first fourth step, and my first fourth step was a mini novel about what everybody did to Monique. Okay, I was the victim in recovery. The fifth step was simply whatever I wanted to share from my fourth. I didn't know nothing about no exact nature. I didn't know my part when I first got in. I just knew I was sick and tired of saying I'm sorry for a conscious decision. Conscious, y'all. I didn't wake up high and make the decision to use. I was clean and making the decision to use one day at a time, every day. I don't know about y'all, but my using days was one long fucking day. 10 years was the same day, like Groundhog Day. Every day looked the same. It was about ways and means to get more. My partner and I, traveling here, we said, remember them days we said the birds wasn't going to catch us? And every time I go out, you know, we try to get fresh. As the progression continued, it wasn't about being fresh no more. My story was having the same shit on for 3 months, turning shit inside out. Let me qualify myself. Kevin, I used to leave the house going to get a loaf of bread. I come back 3 and 4, 5, 6 months later without the loaf of bread. That was my story. All I could do was use. So I didn't know nothing about the exact nature of nothing. I know what I came from, and I use that as an excuse to continue to use. My first recovery treatment facility taught me, this is my shit, y'all, because I know this wasn't their message, but addicts use is what I left that treatment facility with. So, guess what I did when I left? My first treatment facility taught me how to remove denial and guilt. And so when I decided to use, goddammit, I was going to enjoy it, and I was going to spend every last penny. And some of yours. That was my story. You know, so now I'm working on the fifth step. And I'm talking about some exact nature. You know, anger masks a lot of feelings. And so does fear. And I realized that fear, it was at the core of a lot of shit I was doing. The fear of being abandoned, the fear of rejection. The fear that if I really told you who I am, you may not like me. It was real important for me to be accepted and liked. I was the bully, Kev, back in the day when there was penny candy. You know, I'm talking about just like there's a progression to the disease of addiction, I believe there's a progression to surrendering to the disease, and there's a progression of growth that comes along with doing the work in this process. So after doing some work, it wasn't until, y'all, just last year, I realized I was a bully. Because fear was at the core of my being. Fear. Hey, I was the kid at gym. I hated gym because we had to change our shoes. And I always had the socks with the fucking holes in them. Remember you had to fold them under? You might take off your sneakers 6 or 7 times because the fold wasn't right. I hated gym, and I'm good at sports, but I hated that changing. So when it was gym day, I had to come prepared with the sneakers already on because I didn't want to. And then don't let it be something where the gym teacher says, take your shoes off. Because the exact nature, I'm telling y'all, of the shit I did was fear. I didn't know who I was. And what I thought I was, would you still accept me? I'm a gay mom, man. Hardest shit I ever had to do. Recovery taught me how to be a mom. When I came in to Hagerstown, Maryland, and made a decision to stop using because I was fucking tired of saying I'm sorry for spending the rent money, and y'all know the story. When I made that decision, it appeared that I was the only one with little people. And I'm talking about my youngest son is 17, and I'm coming up on 17 years clean. He'll turn 18. I turn 17 in recovery. So he grew up in this process, but I didn't know what to do. I went from 0 kids to 2 because I was busy using. God had a plan because kids wasn't my story. That was not my story. I wasn't living a lifestyle for kids. But then I realized with using and finding ways and means, I had a moneymaker on me. So I started using my moneymaker. I have one son I abandoned in the hospital. He ended up with my mother. There are no coincidences. There are no coincidences. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Kevin, we're here for a reason today. 4.5 years later comes baby number 2, and I'm doing the same shit. And I'm talking about an insecure, that's another exact nature, insecurity will allow me to do some shit. You know, will allow me to get pissed off at you because really I'm jealous. But my insecurity won't allow you to know because what, jealous is weak. So I'd rather get pissed off with you and then my intellectual mind will have you thinking you did something to me. Because I'm going to manipulate that shit, Kevin. Because I would like to be the victim. If I'm the victim, then there's no responsibility on my part. I don't know about y'all, man. If there's one thing I miss in active addiction is irresponsibility. Some days I don't feel like it. So I come from a place, man, where when I exposed who I was denied. My mother disowned me for years, and I lived through physical, emotional, and verbal abuse. So to counteract that, you know what I would do? Tell my life story at the bus stop before there was an emotional connection between you and I, so you can decide whether you like me or not. And because we really don't know each other, I don't care if you do or don't at that point.
That's true.
You know, it took me being in recovery to realize when I got my first professional job, I had to put a sticky. My best friend gave it to me. Monique, everything is not for everybody. Because another thing at the core for me, which can be a character defect, is trust. Now, you probably say, how can that be a character defect? I trust everyone on the same playing field. I'll give Kevin the same information. I'll give her, give my best friend, give my boss, and it's not necessary. Because at the core of that, I am fearful. So let me just tell you so we can get that out the way. So I don't have to go through any abandonment or rejection if you really decide who I am. So now I got these two babies, because you know, as time goes on and we get better in recovery, some shit starts to happen. We start getting our own place. We become responsible, productive members of society. And I came in one of those educated addicts. I already had degrees on the wall. Big fucking deal. Because, listen, I don't know about y'all, but crack does not discriminate. My best friend. A lot of times I got rejected because I was too smart. We talked about that at the breakfast table. Hey, you know, remember when they used to walk up to you, what's up? When I used to be Slim. What's up, Slim? You want to get busy? You know, I had said yes to busy one time, and it wasn't something I wanted to do, and I sacrificed my morals, my values, my dignity, and a whole bunch of other stuff because I said yes to busy. So I said, next time I heard busy, I said, well, what does busy mean for you? He said, oh, I see you got game. Call it what you want. So sometimes that counteracted too. Man, I tried to live up to other people's expectations for a long time. Now I got these two little people. Y'all, I'm talking about the fifth step, the exact nature. I'm scared. What is your life? I'm talking about two babies, man, no daddies. I have no baby daddy drama. I don't know who they are. So I'm talking about birth certificates with father blank. I got to talk about that too. I got to explain that. Step five, actually, before step five, step one taught me how to get honest. Kevin already said, in order to counteract some of that fear, I had to take action. So I started doing some things, and what I started doing was working the steps. I started identifying with who I am. I'm a gay woman today, and I love it, and I like bad girls. Where are you, baby? I like the girl. Listen, I like to say I come from the hood, but for, you know, I'm from the fucking suburbs. You know what I'm saying? But single parent household, you know, we lived in low income housing, but it wasn't the hood. It really wasn't. But that's okay. I grew up where education must come first. Education and chores, Kevin. I didn't get shit without painting the house, waxing the floor. Y'all know. I like the bad girls. My girl, you know, I'm touchy-feely. I like, you know, I pick the girls that like to fight. I pick the girls that cuss like sailors. And I pick the girls that smoke, and I'm a non-smoker. And then I complain to their whole relationship about your smoking. Let's get to the exact nature of that. They are who I'm not. And that's the attraction for me. I like that. They're able to be that person I wish I could be sometimes. I want to be the one that's fucking irresponsible, cuss out the motherfucking boss, and keep moving. It's not who I am. Instead, I'm going to find my fucking part in it and get in the solution. That's who I am. And it pisses me off sometimes. So I had to get honest with these two little boys. Mommy likes bad girls. If my children came up right now, they know the Serenity Prayer. They say we need a meeting. They'll say, Mom, keep coming back. Mom, you need a meeting. Let me ground myself for a second. Right now, my 17-year-old is locked up. He's a bad boy. I use through both of my pregnancies. I see active addiction, my active addiction use in both of my children. I hold no guilt and shame because you know what? I'm there. I suited up and I showed up and I did the necessary stuff. I'm there. I heard Kevin talk about lead by example. I lead by motherfucking example. We used to live with grandma. We got our own place. They saw me get more degrees. Guess what? We own our own home. They've watched me get cars. And I'm not talking about that material stuff. I'm talking about the shit that got us the material shit. The stuff that you can't see unless you're living it. I'm talking about living by some spiritual principles today. I got God in my life. I got God that I could feel, that I could touch, and that I could see through y'all.
Yeah.
So my 17-year-old is locked up on a gun charge, being charged as an adult. I haven't found it necessary to use. I'm not going to bail you out. I was a criminal that did my motherfucking time. I do my time. I get locked up, I do my time. I don't call for commissary or nothing. I need to say, though, my mom took care of me. Anytime I was locked up, she may have came in and cussed me out and disowned me and said what she had to say, but I had commissary. I told my kids growing up, if you start getting in trouble, I'm telling you now, unless I could say you were definitely with me, you will do your time. I'm not putting up the house. I work for that. Here's another one of my philosophies, y'all. This is my motto. No man will take me under. I came up out the fucking gutters, man, to have what we have today. And it's not by chance. I was chosen. I was chosen to do what I do. Streets of Harlem were no joke, man. I live homeless by choice. By choice so I could use and not have to be accountable for anything. So my kids can't take me under. That would have to be a choice I make. I got an oldest boy who's back home. That's my special boy. He's special. He's special. I love him. But here's the beauty of that. He's the one I abandoned in the hospital. He knows his story. Because at that point in time, his story was mine. Guess another thing I learned doing the steps. What I do affects other people. Self-centeredness is at the core of my disease. Okay? I couldn't see that for a long time, that what I did affected other people. The beauty of the story is I have to have foot surgery. I got my boot on. I get jokes, puss in boots, bootleg. For me, honestly, it's a little emotional. It's the third time that I have to get surgery on this foot for the same thing. It'll be the fifth surgery altogether. And what I do affects other people. In having this surgery, the minimum recovery time is going to be 4 months. So that means I'm out of work. I am administration and clinical at work. It's taking two people to do what I do. And you know what, guys? They used to wonder what I did. They were asking my supervisor, what does Monique really do? Because I'm a social butterfly. So they saw me just buzzing around, talking to people. And so at our business meeting Thursday, I said, do they still wonder what I do? Because it's taking two people to cover what one person does. Okay, do the math. I'm good, thank you. Son locked up, I'm getting ready to go off for 4 months. It could end up being like a stretch of almost six, not sure yet. And it has emotionally depressed me to some degree. But this is what I do know. There are no coincidences. God said it's time to sit still. It's time to sit still with some things. So I'm going to take that time to recover mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Because here's a new exact nature of some of the shit I do today. However, I get in a solution today instead of stay stuck in the problem. I have a fear of dying. Especially since I'm at the damn top of the hill now, and I'm hoping no one has a boot on like mine and standing behind me, ready to kick my ass down the hill. I have a fear of dying. So to counteract that, I've been getting prepared. No, I don't talk about death every day. I'm putting some shit in order. Because it's inevitable. So I'm getting ready to put some stuff in order. That mother who disowned me, Kev, is disabled and has been for a couple years, not driving anymore. I find if I remove myself, she gets a little better. Then she gets emotionally weak again, gets sick again physically. I remove myself, she gets better. But anyway, I've been able to suit up and show up and take care of my mom. The roles have reversed. This process has taught me how to put a different frame on the same picture. Picture's the same. I can't change my mom. But I do know she loves me. I'd like to say conditionally, because it has been on conditions. Because there's many times she took that love back. You know what I mean? But I'm past that. I'm no longer the victim. So what? I came from a dysfunctional family. And? That's like taking that first hit. Then what? You know, we have the plan is awesome before we take the one. You know, so what? You know, and I've made some different decisions, and I've learned to live by some spiritual principles. And for the newcomer, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Willingness. Please be willing to give back what was freely given to you. And just coming to conventions and getting phone numbers, my story that I never use, you will not see me get a person's phone number unless I plan to use it. It's like getting someone's autograph. What the fuck do you do with it? You know, that's what I was doing with phone numbers. Like, it ended up in a box somewhere. Like, I had a whole collection of program convention stuff, and I wasn't doing anything with it. So, newcomers, if you're going to get a person's number, intend to use it. So what? You got 600 numbers at the convention. And? What are you going to do with them? You know, the bottom line is about working steps, and the steps give us our solutions. My name's Monique. My home group is New Image, Hagerstown, Maryland. Thanks for letting me share.
You get your phone number too.
Okay.